What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 271, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a lot. Just had a busy evening, and it was like,
yeah,
Wednesdays are usually like get home from work, eat dinner, hang out with the family for a little bit, and then go downstairs and podcast. Tonight was, oh, son's got a soccer game in the middle of the week as opposed to on the weekend. So, yeah, had to do that, rush back home, get down here, and that's why we're starting a little late. So,
yeah, we were going to start in about 15 minutes, but Ryan got home a little bit earlier, so we're just starting now. So, how was it, like, getting back to sports, I feel like, after the, you know, after everything, like, you know?
Oh, no, it's good. I mean, it's been going on for a couple months. Okay. It's all outdoors and everything, so it's been good.
Nice. Yeah. Old man is already in the chat. He said, hey, guys, if you are in the live chat and want to say what's up, definitely, you know, shoot us a message or ask a question or just comment on what we're going to be talking about. But obviously, this is a tech podcast, so let's get into tech. And we have two interesting reviews this week. Oh, real quick, if you do want to follow along with the reviews and all of the news articles that we'll be talking about this week, we have our show notes page, which I will bring up here, that you guys can find right on the site as well. It is linked in the description of the video that you're watching. So go ahead and click on that and you can follow along with us and get all of, you know, just keep up with us, keep track, and, you know, see what we're going to be talking about this week. So starting off, I took a look at another Z590 motherboard, and this one came from a company that I don't believe we've ever reviewed a product for. That, like, I'm trying to think back if we ever have, and
not since I've worked for you.
Yeah, so
a few years.
Yeah, I honestly don't think we have. I can't remember a time where we have. But when you think of motherboards, I always say that there's the big four, just like, I don't know, like the big four car companies, yeah, or whatever. You know, it's not often you don't buy from one of the big four. And those big four are Asus, Gigabyte, MSI, and ASRock. Like, those are the big four. Am I missing somebody? I mean, EVGA has put out some good motherboards over the past couple years. They're just
not as big of a factor and name as they used to be.
Yeah, but I just don't even think that EVGA, like, you can, again, I don't consider them typically when it comes to, like, if somebody's like, Bob, what board should I get? I'm going to recommend one of the top four. And I think most people, that's just kind of how it is.
In the U.S., right? Overseas, yeah, you have some other options, but in the U.S., those are the main four, for sure.
Yeah, so those are the main four. So BioStar reached out and was like, we want to send you a Z90 board. And I was like, this gives me the perfect, you know, a lot of times, like, when a company like BioStar would be like, no, you know, like, I don't think it's going to do good traffic. And most of our users aren't buying a BioStar board. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense. But this time I was like, I've never viewed a BioStar motherboard. It's a Z590 board. It looks pretty nice. Like, let me check it out and see if this can be the product that changes my mind and, mm-hmm, is like, hey, there, you know, you can consider a BioStar board. So they sent over their Z590 GTA, which is part of their racing line, hence the name GTA. And when I first took it out of the box, I was actually pretty surprised at how good it looked. They kind of go with this black and blue color theme, and it works really well. And typically when we see motherboards from lower known brands, like, they don't have a whole lot of colors. Like, you can see even the colors go onto the PCB itself. It's not just like on the heat sinks. Like, I was actually really impressed when I pulled this out. I was like, wow, like, this looks like it could be from any of the other brands. You, yeah, know what I mean? Yeah, it was just, it, like I said, it looked really good. And when it comes to a Z590 motherboard, this kind of does have all of the features, as it should, because most of those features are delivered by the chipset. You have 2.5 gig LAN. You have PCI Express 4, so your top M.2 slot, which is right here, and your PCI Express slots are Gen 4. You can take advantage of very fast speeds for storage. And then after that, oh, you also get USB 3.2 Gen 2 by 2, which is, you know, right here, your single type C, which is, like, again, what you get on most boards. But beyond that, there's nothing else on this board that makes that there's no extras. There's thing extra.
So it's like just the minimum spec, essentially.
It's kind of less than running. It's actually less than the minimum spec because, okay, you see there's Wi-Fi antennas, but there's actually no
Wi-Fi card.
There's no Wi-Fi card. And you get Wi-Fi from the specific chipset itself. And it's kind of like a thing because you think, oh, I'm pulling it out, like I'm going to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But when you remove this is where your Wi-Fi, your .2 Wi-Fi would go. So that's where it kind of falls short. Also, if you actually look at the rear, if you look at the audio section, you only have three connections, which is microphone, and I think this is left and right.
Audio in and audio out.
Audio in and audio. Like, you don't get your normal, you would have five of these connections plus an optical audio on every other board that I've reviewed. You don't get that there as well. So that's kind of a bummer. The VRM is a 14-phase VRM. It did okay. This board has a lot of limits that are set in the BIOS that you can't change, but in our overclocking, all of the boards that I tested so far, you can only get an all-core overclock on the i9-11900K to 5 gigahertz all-core, at least with the cooling setup that we have. You know what I mean? And we're able to get it, like, it booted no problem, but when we ran our stability test, the processor got up to 106 degrees, which is the highest. All the other boards were around like 90, 94 degrees. It got up to 106, which is the highest I've seen it go. We also ran into problems. Like, again, there's a lot of restrictions set in the BIOS itself by default that we had to disable the boards. Those restrictions aren't there. You have those in the chat. Old man asked how many M.2 ports. So you have three total. Here you can see with the heat sinks. So the top one right here is your Gen 4, and then these other two are Gen 3 slots. So you have that as well. So, I mean, that's like a nice feature, and they do have the thermal tape and all of that. And like I said, but overall, this board is just a plain Jane board. I just don't see any other feature of this board that sets it apart, or even extra features, like even extra little things that don't make the biggest difference, like reinforced memory slots, which we don't have, or reinforced power connections, or
the buttons.
The only thing that's reinforced is the PCI Express slots. You know, there's no reinforcement on anything else. There's no power and reset on the board. And there's no like other extra features like we saw on the ASRock board that had the direct PCI lane to mm-hmm. the network card so you could have better networking. Like, there's nothing else. Also, what I didn't mention is there's fans in the VRM heat sinks. So you have two on this heat sink and then one embedded in here. And if you put full load on your CPU, those ramp up very loud. Very, very loud. So it's just like, you can kind of see one of the fans right there. I really was like excited about this board. And then as I got into it, I was like, yep, this is why you don't consider BioStar, right? Yeah. Their BIOS was actually very good. I was actually really surprised. I was expecting this, like, you know, BIOS that seemed like it was out of, I don't know, like the early 90s, you just kind of expect it. But I did a full BIOS video that's up on the YouTube page if you guys want to check it out. But their BIOS is actually really, really good. So it's kind of, like I said, I did like that. They also do have companion software, which at least for the racing motherboards, it's called GT. It's called Racing GT. It does everything that you want. for like a companion software. It allows for overclocking, it allows you to control the fans, it allows you to control the RGB lighting, although there are only three different, or technically, yeah, there's three different effects. One is breathing, one is just a color cycle, and the other one goes to music. That's it. There's no other, you know, more in-depth RGB control. The RGB lighting is on the IO cover and on the chipset heatsink. It actually looks pretty good. But again, there's not a whole lot of customization that you can do with it as compared to other motherboards as well. So then I was like, okay, you know, this still, if the performance, you guys can check out the performance graphs, but the performance is really good, you know, compared to other boards. They're all in the same realm. And I was like, okay, price. Like, they're going to get this thing on price because...
Right. If you're not, if you don't have any of those extras or bells and whistles, you got to come in at the price.
So I look at the price and it's $300, and I'm like, okay, $300. And then I look for other Z590 boards, and there's a bunch. Like the Asus Z590A is less expensive. There's a Gigabyte Z590 Pro AX, which means that it has wireless. Just board doesn't, which is also less. Like, there's a bunch of boards that are less than this that give you at least wireless or at least a couple other features, you know what I mean? So I was just like, what is, like,
do you,
I
think
just,
their pricing is off so much?
I mean, it's not off a lot. If this was an Asus or any of those other ones, you could be like, okay, it's in, because it's in the range, it's in the price, but it doesn't have anything to garner that extra $20 that it's more expensive than, say, like the Gigabyte board. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing on this that's like, oh, that's why it's an extra $20. You know what I mean? Like, if they put, you know, if they put wireless on it, or if they did something else, or whatever it may be, like the couple extra features you get, you know, they, if they put better audio on it or did something to get that extra price, it's just not there. So I'm, like I said, I gave it a 7 out of 10, because if you get it and you're not going to overclock, it's going to do everything that a Z590 board is going to do, right? And if you need to change anything, like, the BIOS is easy enough to navigate, but you don't get any of the other features that you would get with the other ports. There is no wireless. It's just not as polished as the other ports, I would say. And that's kind of where I left it at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they've got a way to go.
Yeah,
as far as feature set and making this board more desirable, and then coming down a little bit on the price, and I think they'll have something, you know, worthwhile. You know, and who knows, maybe they'll come out with some more boards that are priced a little better or have a better, little better feature set.
Yeah, and then this board is part of their racing line. So at least the top is their so this isn't their top of the top. The top of the top for them is their Valkyrie line. Then it goes to racing, and then it goes to like two other ones. So this would be like a Strix. This wouldn't be like an ROG. Mm-hmm. I guess ROG is Strix. But is, I don't know. It's not, like I said, it sits as like their second tier down. But again, it still feels very limited for what it is. So we'll just keep it that. So like I said, check out the review. You can kind of see what I thought about it. It is cool to see a motherboard from a brand we've never reviewed before, because again, it's just good to always see what's out there. Yeah. I can't recommend it compared to the other boards, especially considering some of the other boards are cheaper than this and you're actually getting more from those boards. So definitely something to consider. But yeah. And then I also took a look at a keyboard, and this one's actually interesting because
this thing's pretty sweet.
Well, the thing that's interesting about it is that it's let's go over the product. We'll tell everybody the product name and stuff. It's the Corsair K60 RGB Pro, full-size gaming keyboard, mechanical gaming keyboard. But the reason I think it's really interesting is that it uses the Cherry Viola switches. Now, they're not Cherry MX. They're just called Cherry Viola. And the whole reason for these switches is that they were specifically designed to, for like an entry-level keyboard, they're designed to kind of replace those like Memcanical or any of the like hybrid switches that were out there, they were designed to give you a true mechanical key switch at an affordable price. And who better to do that than Cherry, obviously, because they are kind of like the standard when it comes to key switches. And the switch is actually really interesting. I should probably just let me bring up the their actual page for them, because it, like I said, these are designed kind of interesting.
I've never heard of these switches, honestly. Before I read your review,
they were announced.
Are they pretty new?
Okay, they were announced at CES.
Okay.
So these switches, the thing that's interesting is, on a normal switch.
Yeah, designed for value market, it says there. So
that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So this entire top piece actually goes down into the switch. So normally just your stem would go down into the switch. So it actually makes these incredibly stable compared to if you just have a stem, you have a little bit of give on each side of, if you're used to a keyboard, you know, if you press on the far edge of a key, you'll have a little bit of give. You actually have less give with these. They're made of less parts. I believe there's only, I think it says somewhere.
Looks like four pieces there.
In that four. Yeah. So maybe I think it's half of what a normal mechanical is, half as many pieces. So I really like the whole idea of this, giving us a Cherry made switch that is affordable. You know what I mean? I really like that. And the problem is, after using these, they're not, if you compare them to any Cherry MX switch, doesn't even compare.
Really? But it's better than like a standard rubber membrane, right?
Yeah, it's better than a membrane. It's better than the hybrid solutions that I've used. But you have to, again, and like Kales are better than like the, you know, the like the top of the line Kales and Gaterons feel better than these as well, at least in my opinion. Go ahead.
Do they come in colors as well? Like a red style, a blue style, brown style, or does it just
just this style, which is a linear switch.
Like? Okay, so just a linear.
Yeah, it's a linear switch. It, like I said, I like the idea that I'm getting a true mechanical switch, key switch, but they just do not. I mean, I would take any Cherry MX switch over these. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just, it's just completely different. Like, you can tell as soon as you type on it that it's not a Cherry MX. Like, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, I review a lot of keyboards. So, I mean, I might be different than some other people. Now, you're obviously going to tell a difference if you're using, you know, a membrane switch or a scissor switch to this. This is going to feel much better than those, but it's not going to feel remotely close to a Cherry MX switch. So, that is kind of the big thing about this keyboard. Now, the keyboard itself is a full-size keyboard, so you have a full comp of keys as well as a full number pad. You get a aluminum top plate, and it's a very minimal design. As you can see, not much of the keyboard itself is wasted, with exception of up here, and that's where your indication LEDs are, which are white. You get low-profile keycaps, which is kind of interesting. So low profile, which are actually, they're kind of my favorite keycaps to type with. Like, I love typing on low profile keyboards. I have these very low profile keycaps. As I said, Cherry Viola switches. The keycaps themselves are ABS, not PBT. I can't go back to an ABS. Like, as my day, like having a keyboard with PBT keycaps, you'll never go back to anything else. Now, these switches do have the generic stems or the normal stems. You could pick up PBT keycaps for this keyboard, no problem. It uses a standard bottom row, so you don't have to worry about that either, because Corsair had issues with that in the past, with not having a standard bottom row. Also, this is entry level, so the actual cable is attached, is non-detachable. and it is rubber. It is not braided, which was very surprising to me that we got this rubber cable.
Is there a USB pass-through on this? I don't think there is there?
No USB pass-through, no wrist rest included. You do get a little bit of elevation, obviously, from the pop-out feet on the back, but that is basically it. You know, it is, like I said, it's a very, it's an entry-level keyboard, you know, price that I think it's $109. So that's kind of what it is. You know, you get the keyboard itself is backed up, of course, by IQ. If you're buying a Corsair product these days, like, you know, you're going to use IQ. Not the best, not the worst, but it allows you to control the lighting. It allows you to, you know, you can fully reprogram the keyboard. You can do all that kind of stuff. You know, you can do everything in IQ. There is no onboard macro recording. There is no onboard. And you can't reprogram on the keyboard, if that makes sense.
That's okay.
Yeah.
How does it? I mean, it looks pretty good there. Does it glow quite a bit more since those keycaps are like elevated up above the base?
Yeah. You know so what I mean? It does.
They're floating more than standard keycaps.
Yeah. So the RGB lighting on this is absolutely excellent. I don't even think my pictures do it justice. Like, it's very, very good. Obviously, with IQ, there are a ton of different effects, so you can make this look awesome. You set different zones. You can do everything that you want to do. It's a great looking keyboard. And because you don't have the full size keycaps, you have the low profiles, you kind of get this floating keycap look, and that's going to look excellent, obviously, when you have, you know, the RGB lights on it. Just, it's a good looking keyboard, for sure. So, like I said, at $109, I'm not super mad at that price. But again, like, you could go back and find, I mean, you can go back and find keyboards that have PPD keycaps and like a Gateron switch for that price, right? That are not as new, that might not have the software control. But I would rather have a like a Cherry MX or Gateron or Kale switch on a keyboard that I couldn't necessarily control. Like, I couldn't necessarily, like, I'd have to make my macros on the keyboard. I would have software or something like that. You know what I mean? So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Like I said, the Viola switches, while they are mechanical, they don't compare to a Cherry MX at all. That rubber USB cable, I'd honestly wouldn't be as mad about the rubber USB cable if it was removable, if I could replace it with something else if I could swap it out. So yeah, like I said, those are the things I do like it, but the thing I don't understand with Corsair is like their naming scheme needs to be changed, because this is called RGB Pro. So when I think of, like, say RGB, so it has RGB lighting, like that clicks in my head, but the pro makes me think it's a pro, like a pro grade product, right?
Okay, so it's gonna have nice switches, extra features, yeah. Maybe. But I think they've gone with the Elite naming scheme for that, haven't they?
I don't know what, if I go to their website, because there's like a bunch of different case. There's a bunch of different K60s.
Yeah, and that's what's confusing to me as well, is like the 60. I was expecting a smaller keyboard because like I have the K65, which is a 10 keyless.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I agree. They need to
keyboard
come up with a number for the form factor and then the rest of the name for the features.
My keyboard is just acting up right now.
Should you blow it up? Is it that one?
No, it's this one.
It's a nice one. Oh no.
For some reason, the bottom row is all green. I know you guys can't see because it's light here.
I can see, like, yeah.
The rest of the keyboard, it's really hard to see because these aren't see-through keycaps, but like the bottom row, right?
Yeah.
No, the bottom row is
green.
Yeah, the bottom row is just green. It shouldn't be doing that. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Anyways, let's see what, because there's like a bunch of different K60s, which is just like weird. Let's see. K55. So I don't know if their naming scheme goes.
Can you pull it
like,
up?
Like for the K55, there's a K55 RGB Pro, and there's a K55 RGB Pro XT. So the Pro XT is the better one out of the two. So there's a K60 RGB Pro. There's a K60 RGB Pro SE, which looks like it comes with the, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's there's a K55 RGB. Okay.
Oh, your audio just like jumbled up all of a sudden.
Oh, do I sound better now?
I mean, you sound fine.
Feel like every week we have a problem.
Yeah.
I feel like we can't computer anymore. We're just getting too old.
It could be. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, but like, that's what I mean. Like, there's no there's no continuity through the, like, through the line. You know what I mean? Because if the Pro SE, the only difference is that it comes with the wrist rest, you know.
But
and then there's a K60 RGB Pro that comes with Cherry MX low profile speed switches. So that's the totally different switch. That's what I mean. It's like very confusing.
Well, and like the K55 RGB Pro XT and the just Pro RGB Pro, they both have wrist rest. Like from the picture, they look identical.
Yeah, so and then there's a K60 Pro that's the non, like, it's just called K60 Pro. It's not called K60 RGB Pro. It's like they need to redo their entire line with, like, okay, here's entry level product, here's the mid range product, and here's the high product. Because this is just like what a lot of companies do. They come up with the exact same product and then they cut it down into three different products to meet each specific price point.
They have three pages of keyboards. Maybe they just have too many. Also, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is very confusing, especially like the K70 is also confusing because there's like four different models and it's not by switch. It's like by different feature. It's like, again, but like when I hear RGB Pro, I'm like, this should be better than what it is. Yeah. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? That's all. Yep. But check it out. Old man said he may pick up the Corsair. You know, like I said, it's not a bad keyboard. For like around $100, it's not bad at all. Full size keyboard. Old man just said my audio is spotty.
Been crackly.
What is going on? Is it bad now?
It's intermittent.
Do you think I should unplugging?
See, like right there, it was like, do you think I don't know.
Do you think I should risk unplugging the audio interface and then plugging it back in?
Yeah, go for it.
We're doing it live.
Let's do it live.
Watch, I just break everything. I'm like, I'll have to restart. All right, hold on.
And the stream's dead. No. Hopefully this takes care of it. I've noticed it a little bit. I was hoping it would go away. Or that it was maybe on my side, but wait for his mic to come back up here. I don't know if he's using RTX voice or not. I have a feeling he is.
All right. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I mean, yeah, I can hear you.
Is it crackly?
I don't know yet.
I think it might have been because I tried to unplug my keyboard and plug it back in because I was like, what's all this green on my keyboard?
Nope, it's still doing it.
It's still doing it?
Yep. It just crackled and cut some out.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I don't want the whole podcast to sound like I'm on Mars or something.
It's not quite that bad, but it's noticeable.
Well, everybody who's here in the chat, if it's bad, just keep on saying something, and maybe I'll restart, and Ryan will take over the podcast until I come back.
Sysadmin says it sounds okay to him, so maybe it's a StreamYard thing.
Yeah, we'll see. USB ports are like the most finicky things. I think like out of any product I've ever had, I've always had most issues with USB ports, whether it's like the actual port on the product dying. Like I'll have like a SSD, but the port will die. Like the actual drive is fine. Mm-hmm. That's happened so many times. Or like with USB ports, if you add like a hub and then like two USB ports on the computer won't work, but like the ones in the hub, like I've had more issues in my lifetime with USB ports than I think anything else.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it didn't work in this one. Let me move it to the one right next to it. Oh, it worked. And then you move it back to the other. Oh, it's
no
fine.
Sense. No, yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely no sense.
Yeah, so let's move on to Case Mod Friday. Be sure to check out, like I said, check out those two reviews. Like I said, I had a lot of fun with those this week. It was good to get back into the kind of rhythm of reviews now that I have now stuff all set up. So, yeah.
Dude, I love this mod. I think it's so cool.
I was like, wonder what Ryan thinks about this because it's a little different.
I am not a Dragon Ball Z person at all. So like,
okay,
I don't even pay attention to what the graphics are on it. It could be like, I'd love to see it with like some Marvel comics or, you know, some other property, but I just love how it looks. Not because it's Dragon Ball. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, so this one is called Dragon Ball Project. It's from Brain Tech Society. We have their Facebook link if you want to check them out. And what is it? There's a name for this. What is this called?
Is it Decoupage or something like that?
I think. So what they did is they've taken the case that you have, the NWIN 925, and they've basically covered it in stickers. They're all this one says Fresh Prince.
And this maybe one says, it is stickers. Okay.
Yeah.
But it looks so smooth too, right?
That's the thing. Yeah.
Gloss over it then?
I don't know. But they've taken a bunch of stickers, mostly Dragon Ball. There's a bunch that aren't, now that I actually look at it, you know, up close, because there's like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one right here. But it's really cool how people can make their own sort of like art with stickers, right? It's kind of like your own thing, and it makes for a very interesting and very cool look. I think we don't see it enough because I don't think it's as popular as, obviously, you know, leaving the case as it is or painting the case or, you know, concentrating more on the water cooling and stuff like that. So he actually continued it inside, where he has done the inside part of the case. He's done parts of the motherboard. He's done the graphics card. He's actually done parts of the radiators with all of these stickers. Obviously, this is a water-cooled build with EK parts. He's done the top of the water block. And it looks very, very well done. Like, it looks like it, you know, it's supposed to look like that.
I like that cutout. I hadn't noticed this, really. The cutout for the reservoir in that bottom.
It's for a circle there. It. Yeah, right the here.
Glow around it. Yep. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I actually did not even notice that. So that's actually pretty cool as well. So, so it's like I said, it's just this really cool, different type of build with these stickers that is laid out in a really cool way. And it's making it more of like a piece of art, or, you know, kind of like looks like street art almost.
Looks like graffiti. In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So definitely check this one out. It is on the website, and our contests are still continuing. We are on week 14. Go to thinkcomputers.org/moving and you can win this week. Up for grabs, we have, which I actually have at least one of the products sitting here because I had to grab it. We have this RGB strip, as well as one of the coiled cables, the Aseni coiled cables that I did a video on a while back, the black one. I will send out to you as well. So pretty cool. Two really cool accessories I think anybody can use. You can always use a coiled cable, and you can always use an RGB strip. Add it to your case. You can add a desk. You can kind of do whatever you want with these. So I'll be giving those away. Super easy to enter. Like all of our contests, we do it right here, or we do it on Gleam. So you can, you know, enter your name and your email, and there's 11 other ways you can enter by like subscribing to, you know, our podcast, subscribing on Twitch, doing all that kind of stuff. Just go ahead and get your entry in. So continuing the giveaways 14 weeks in a row. It's pretty crazy. So
pretty good track record.
Yeah, for sure. So let's move on to news, and a ton of, kind of like last week, we have a ton of different news from all over the place. There is two really big stories this week, but we'll first start with graphics cards, as we usually typically do. And the interesting story this week is that Galaxy, they're called, there's another name for them too, because they have like three different names for the three different areas that they sell the products in, which is kind of funny. But anyway, they have launched, so they're going to be launching their 3080-3070 LHR series. And that stands for light hash rate, not low hash rate. But it seems like at least Galax is going to be one of these companies that's actually going to tell you that the cards are going to be lower hash rate or light hash rate cards, meaning that they're not going to be good for mining currency. I like this just for the fact that, like, okay, I'm not buying that one if I'm somebody who wants to mine crypto, right?
Yep.
Because so we heard previously that like you wouldn't even know the difference unless you plugged it in and tried to mine, and then it wouldn't do so well. So yeah, good for Galax. I think it's I would hope that more companies kind of follow this, but we haven't seen that just yet. I think the launches of these are out a little bit still, probably more towards next. We'll see more of the different SKUs come out, but yeah, like I said, good for them. I'm actually surprised that somebody did that, because I mean, if I'm the company, I don't want people knowing that, like, you can't mine with it, because they're not going to buy it.
Yeah, they're not going to buy it. Yep.
Yeah. So that is the first company. We'll see if others follow. Also talking about graphics cards, EEC filing, which are always, I don't know, like, people go in and find these, but people do.
Do they just like read through the manifests and like new publications? Like, oh, here's a graphics card one, here's a CPU one. They must.
I have no clue. But the ASRock Radeon RX 6600 and 6600 XT have been spotted in an EEC filing. Yeah, so it looks like we're going to get another graphics card down the line from the 6700. Cool. Always good to see. So yeah, I don't know if it says, so 6966 XT 8 gig that I'm reading here. What else do we have? 6600 XT 8 gig. 6600 XT 8. So these are all 8 gig.
There's a 6700, the XT 12 gig as well.
12 gig. That's
be nice.
Yeah. So yeah. So interesting to see these. Usually when you see this, these mean they're at least 2 weeks to a month out from when they come out. So
looks like those were ASRock as well. If you go down, the manufacturer shows that they're ASRock.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So I think
it's exciting to see. I just, you feel bad reporting on it because of availability. Hopefully though, yeah, you know, at some point we'll get there, but
yeah, it's you wonder, because do you remember we had talked about at the beginning of the year, like, okay, like, you know, we're in May, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of May. It's like, when we were talking about the beginning of the year, we were like, yeah, like, you made time, it should, you know,
sure, it'll be.
And now it's better. May, and it's, we're like, still can't get cards. So
yeah.
So yeah. Let's move on to the big story of the week. At least, I mean, this was the big launch, the big story of the week. Intel officially announced their 11th generation Tiger Lake H mobile processors. These are brand new. These are what are going to be powering all the new laptops that are going to come out this year. And the product, the flagship product is the Core i9-11980HK. Intel calls it the world's best gaming laptop processor. If you look at it is 8-core, 16-thread. It boosts to 5 gigahertz, and the max 4-core turbos, 4.9, then 4.76, 4.548. 65-watt part includes their UHD graphics. Like I said, it's good to see this. Obviously, when it comes to Intel, the mobile parts always come first, because yep, they sell more of them. But there were a ton of laptops announced this week. I always get that laptop image. I'm like, you know, and but like
so far we've been able to just, like, it's just a little itch. We haven't scratched it too much and actually bought them. And I keep seeing, you know, like, availability of laptops with new GPUs in them, and you're just kind of like, might be all right.
It's like, And the thing is like, so I have a nice laptop. It's big and clunky. You know, it's like for doing video editing. It was like, especially as we get back to where I can, like, I will eventually be able to sit at a coffee shop again and do work. Like, it would be kind of nice to have like a nice, you know, a nicer laptop that I would, that wouldn't be dependent on a power source, like my big clunky laptop. And it, you know, it's not as big as that. So we'll see as kind of time rolls on if I decide to pick one up or not. But with that announcement, the more interesting announcement is that NVIDIA, alongside the Intel announcement, they announced their RTX 3050 Ti and 3050 mobile chips. So these are based on the 8-nanometer GA107. The 3050 Ti mobile will completely max it out. So you're going to get 2,560 CUDA cores, 80 Tensor cores, 20 RT cores, and 4 gigabytes of GDDR6 across a 128-bit interface. The 3050 is only going to enable 16 out of the 20 streaming multiprocessors on the chip. So that's going to give you 2,048 CUDA cores, 64 Tensor cores, and 16 RT cores. It's going to have 4 gigabytes of GDDR6 as well. Both of these are designed 3D with 3D power ranging around 35 watts to 80 watts. So this is kind of like the new 1050 Ti replacement mobile kind of deal. I like it that even on mobile, at least so far, we're not breaking it up. We're not, you know, we have Tensor cores, RT cores. I think the biggest thing is getting those Tensor cores. Those are really important for doing DLSS, which when it comes to laptops, if you are getting a laptop with a higher than 1080p screen, DLSS will definitely come in handy. You know, so yeah, I like these. I think they'll do great for 1080p and even 1440p. I mean, not amazing. Like, you're not going to, you know, to be doing crazy things because it's a 3050, but still, based on the specs, it should be decent enough. 4 gigabytes is not a ton, but again, up and, you know, you're turning the settings down a little bit, it shouldn't be that bad. And again, most people buying laptop, like, I don't think I'd buy a laptop with a 4K screen.
No. Yeah, that always gets me, is like, these, especially on smaller form factor laptops like these 13 and 14 inch laptops, and they've got a 4K screen. I mean, it's going to look really clear, but it takes so much more horsepower to run that resolution for that small of a screen. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So we didn't cover a lot of the announcements, but there, as I said, there are a ton of laptop announcements. Like, everybody, like Razer has their new, like Dell, Alienware, like everybody has all their new, they announced all their new laptops featuring these. So go check that out if you're interested. Most of these laptops will launch within the next couple of weeks. So if you're like us trying to think about it, you'll be able to pick those up very, very quickly. One of the more interesting products that was announced with new updated parts is one of these little mobile console deals that we always cover. We always say we want one of these. This one actually looks pretty cool. So this one is their One X Player handheld gaming console. It's been upgraded with Tiger Lake parts. Wow. It is a cool looking, pretty cool.
How tiny is that keyboard though? Like,
I think it's like a,
if that's like the size of a Switch, I mean, that's...
Is that the size of a Switch? I think it's a little bigger. I'm thinking it's like
the original Surface Pro, right? With the type keyboard. And I mean, that thing was pretty small.
That almost looks like the keyboard that I have for my iPad.
Yeah.
How big is the screen, does it say? 8.4 inch. So this screen's 8.4 inch.
It's not very big keyboard.
I like it.
It's neat.
Not that I would use it. That's the thing. It's like... Like when I used to game all the time.
Because you're not going to, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to game on this, but I think it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. You know? If I was one of those people like in a larger city that used public transportation or something, that's when I think this or like the Switch or whatever
would really become
valuable, right? Like,
yeah.
And if you wanted to play your PC games on the go, this would be way to do it.
I'm trying to think. There was one game that I played. It was like one of those like mobile games that was like really popular at the time. I forget what it was. But I played that like constantly when I would like take the bus down to the office.
Huh.
I forget what it was called. But yeah.
Candy Crush?
No, it wasn't Candy Crush. But it was like one of those type of games. But yeah, I mean, this would be pretty cool, obviously. But you can check it out. I mean, look, I mean, that's how big it is. It's a little bit bigger than, I'd say, a Switch.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks bigger than the Switch there.
Yeah. So they have an Indiegogo campaign for it. It's pretty cool. I always say these are cool. They're just not practical for my use. But mm-hmm. if I did have a use, I mean, I'd like to have one for sure. Three different editions, Ultimate Edition, Pro Edition, and Standard Edition with the specs all there. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's called One Netbook Technology, and this is their One X Player handheld. So check that out if you're into mobile little gaming things that are powered by Windows, which is, of course, good. So talking about DDR5, we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. Kingston put out a statement that they will have overclockable DDR5 modules that will ship in Q3 of 2021. So DDR5 2021, what is 2020? But like, you know, by Q3 of this year, which makes you think that, I mean, because I mean, well, overclockable means that they're going to be consumer based, means right. that.
So where are you putting these? Right.
Like, well, that's what I mean. So like in Q3, are we getting another new, like we just got Z5, like, are we getting another new processor and another new motherboard from Intel in Q3? Or are we getting the same thing from AMD in Q3?
Don't know.
Like, that's what it is. Like, where else would you be putting Intel? Yeah, that seems very like. But Intel's done it. Intel, I mean, yeah. Do you remember when we went from 4-core to 6-core? Like, within 6 months, and they offered rebates for people? Yeah, we'll see
cool.
where you're going to put these overclockable DDR5 modules from Kingston. I'm thinking that we won't see new stuff till the end of the year, but we have Computex coming up. Where a lot of stuff gets announced. So we'll see.
Announcements.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. So I'm excited for DDR5, especially the speeds that we had talked about last week coming very, very fast. So. Here is another one of these security stories where you're like, how did you not? Yeah, you have a Dell. Now you got one of these. So,
oh, I support hundreds of them.
Yeah. So apparently hundreds of millions of Dell and Alienware, computers are at risk from this vulnerability. Apparently this is five critical security flaws that have been present since 2009 in the Dell firmware. Their update driver.
What's their firmware update driver?
Yeah, so the firmware update driver. So this is update driver version 2.3, which is responsible for Dell firmware updates and comes pre-installed in nearly every Dell PC system since 2009. Mm-hmm. And it says that attackers were able to use the vulnerabilities to launch attacks to gain kernel level access on hundreds of millions of Dell and Alienware PCs. And they have, you know, all the information on that. You know, Dell said that it recommended to remove the driver or download the following utility to remove the driver. It's just crazy. Dell was warned about this back in 2020.
So the nice thing about this, though, is this isn't like a Spectre meltdown type of thing where
correct
it's a hardware issue, right? This is software, so it can be patched or, you know, resolved a lot easier than or without harming the performance like they found for the mitigations for those Intel vulnerabilities. This stinks, but you think about it, like, just think of all the vulnerabilities that Microsoft has to patch for right? That yeah. pop up. Yeah. So, and that's in the OS, right? This is only is only Dell. So HPs don't have this same issue, right? They may have a similar right. application that does the same thing, but it's not like a full Windows vulnerability. But yeah, that's a lot of PCs, and like, it's not like this is mainstream news where, you know, CNN or NBC or Fox or whatever is going to be like, make sure if you've got a Dell computer to run this utility. So, you know, so many of these systems are still going to hang out there with this vulnerable
yeah.
application.
It's just, it's crazy that like time and time again, we hear these. And I mean, that's a pretty, especially more Dell than Alienware. So, I mean, there's a lot of Dell systems out there, a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you have a Dell or Alienware, check out the patch, run it, and, you know, make sure you're secure, because you could. Did you run it on your laptop or no?
No, I looked into it at work, but I didn't look at it on mine. So.
Yeah. Talking about software related stuff, it looks like Microsoft is finally getting rid of their Windows 95 icons. I saw this story.
I mean, they're not horrible. I think I like some of the old icons better than the new ones.
Well, that's the thing. The old icons are like that nostalgia. They're like the ones.
No, but like the one that I use these like personally, like the network drive one. It's like the third column over the top.
Yeah,
right. Right. So you got a network drive, and then the drive above it actually looks like a hard drive. Whereas on the new icon, it's like just a black box.
Yeah, it's with like,
you know, it's not. It doesn't look like a drive necessarily. As much. That one bugs me. Everything else I'm fine with. It's not that big of a deal, but yeah, probably need to update those icons.
Yeah, I like the old ones, but that's just me. But yeah, they just have to, that's just how things go. But yeah, they've updated their icons. So
if you I don't think it's that many that use that old of icons. I'm sure there's some that have stuck around that are that old, right? From Windows 95 or whatever. But most of these are even newer than that they're replacing.
Yeah, for sure. This old chip looks so much better.
Oh, with the finger. With the little fingers hanging down. Yes.
Yeah. Much better. Yeah. Sysadmin says, old ones were fine, familiar. Yeah, like you're familiar with the old ones. Now you have to kind of like relearn, because a lot of them are like drastically different, right?
Intuitively, you can tell, but they're quite a bit different.
Yeah, there's somebody you're like, what? So, check that out. Like I said, I like the old ones. I'm a kind of like an old nostalgia nerd, so. So, yeah, our last bit of news this week is that for the third year in a row, AMD CEO Dr. Lisa Su, she will be giving the keynote at Computex, which is exciting, which means that maybe there is an announcement for AMD parts where we'll get info DDR5, right? There'll be a new chipset or something, probably a graphics card, probably that 6600, I'm guessing. Right. But yeah, she gives good keynotes. It's always good to hear. And her keynotes are always very product focused. They're not like, at least for us, they're more like to what we, you know, like when Intel would give like a keynote, it would be like 2 minutes on processors, and then like, here's our networking, or here's our infrastructure, here's our car thing. Like,
well, it's never... there's so many more. I've never been to the biggest keynote. I've been to was, I think, Nvidia when they announced the 20 series or the 2060. I'm sorry. Yeah.
2060. Yeah. Yeah. Even watching these, a lot of these are really interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they really discuss, because again, at least you don't think my camera's gonna die. No, I'm just looking at it.
Why is it gonna die? You don't have it plugged in?
It says it's plugged in, but it's so if my video goes, I'll try to fix it. But it,
well, you'll still be able to share your screen. We don't have to look at you.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear my voice too. So, yeah. But it's, I just have these problems.
I don't know.
But yeah, AMD's keynotes are always very product focused, but we'll see what products that they'll be talking about, because it's a time where like we're not really sure what the next, you know, if there's, I don't think it's going to be like a big announcement. I don't think it's going to be something crazy that you're not expecting. So yeah, let's talk about what we have coming up next week. Next week, I have the Rav Power Portable Mini SSD. This is a very tiny, I love these things, super small, very small, like a candy bar size. I mean, this thing's tiny. It's a USB 3.2 Gen 1 drive, so max out at 540 megabytes a second. Still super fast, great for portable media drive, editing drive, all that kind of stuff. So I'll have that for you. I will also have, there goes my audio. See?
Battery exhausted. See that?
I don't understand why it does that. Let me try to fix it for 1 second.
Sure. What else do we have? You got memory kit coming up. Let's see here. Since you're fixing that, I'm trying to think if I did anything.
I'll share my screen. Hold on. I'll share
I was just going to skip to tech stuff that we did over the week, but I can't think of anything that I did tech related over the week. Okay, so yeah, I can see your screen. Oh, USB mode connecting to mass storage.
No, it's not going to let me do it.
Not going to do it. Interesting.
I don't understand how it's used battery if it's plugged into USB, though. Like the US, I don't understand.
Charging it and.
Yeah, we'll have to fix so many things. So I'll also be taking a look at the Aorus RGB memory. For some reason, they don't have the 4800 megahertz kit that I will be reviewing. This is the 4400 megahertz kit. But this is one of the best looking, like this memory, once you take it out, like these pictures, these renders don't do it justice. Like it looks so good with the Aorus logo right here. Like it's really, really good. It's gonna be I think it's gonna be the fastest memory that we've ever tested, 4800 megahertz. So I'm pretty excited to take a look at that. And I should probably just take my whole self off.
Take your camera off. Get out of here.
And then finally, I'll be taking a look at the Samsung SSD. This is the 980 SSD. So this is their entry level. This is their first entry level NVMe SSD that really fits that entry level price point. It is Gen 3. It's effectively replaces. I don't know what effectively replaces, but it, like I said, I think it does replace the 970. It's not an Evo. It's not any of their higher ends. It's just like their bare bones stuff. So I'll be taking a look at that as well. And then, did you do anything cool this week? I know Ryan also has a very cool video coming out soon that we're working on editing, but it's pretty good.
Change it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to give anything away, I would say, but yeah. Did you do anything else cool this week?
No, I'm super excited to get back into Apex though. Last week was start of season 9.
Yeah.
And arena mode, like I loved it. We played for 4 hours after this.
Yeah, you were, and I looked
over. I looked at the clock and it was like 10 something. I was like, "All right, sweet. Plenty of time." The next time I looked at the clock, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, "I got to get up and go to work. This is not good." So, I'm excited to play that. I haven't really done anything tech-wise. I need to get this other Ubiquiti access point hooked up that I bought. But
yeah, I haven't done any. I'm just working on reviews and all that kind of stuff. Working on the office, as you can see, obviously, considering you can't see me, you can see how awesome that's going with trying to get stuff working correctly.
Yeah.
That is a weird, because like, so I plugged the camera into USB, which I assume is charging, but it's not recording. It's just taking the raw. So I don't understand why it's using the battery.
Like it can't keep up with charging and keeping it on and giving that video.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be. We never had an issue before. And we're just an hour into the podcast. And we've done podcasts that are like far longer. So I'm not sure what's up with that. I don't know if I switched USB ports last week when I was having issues, and maybe that port is
maybe
not
it doesn't enough. Provide enough power. Yeah,
I don't know. But I am working on the office. I have some new stuff coming in. Something just came today There's more stuff coming to get it really looking like a battle station. Like, I'm really pumped for everything. And I'm pumped to get the stuff that I need to get the correct lighting in here for doing YouTube videos. If you guys have noticed, besides the podcast, I've only been doing those videos. We will have a lot more videos coming where you can see my face and see products and see a lot of the stuff that we've been taking a look at on video. Also, HBO Max, there's a show called Generation Wealth, which I thought was initially, I thought it was just gonna be about like people who started companies and like got rich. Like, I thought that was the thing. It's about people who have scammed people to get rich and like they're like downfalls or whatever, how they were shady. It's kind of like American Greed, if you had ever watched that show.
No, but this looks cool.
Generation Wealth.
Some images of this, and I feel like, yeah, I've seen this lady before.
Yeah, there's some, like I said, I've watched like five episodes, and you're like, what the hell? Like, people are so shady, or like, this is crazy, or like, oh, I've heard of that, or I've heard of that company, or like, you know what I mean? So it's on HBO Max. Check it out. It's called Generation Wealth. I've been watching that lately, but beyond that, I believe we will be, I assume we're getting back on Apex tonight, so we will be doing some streaming over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/computers. Go over there. Obviously, Ryan will be doing the streaming because my camera just decided to turn off.
It's not going
to
be you.
So we'll go ahead and I'm going to, hopefully next week we have a cast that goes on without any technical issues. But we will be over there. So definitely, if you want to keep on hanging out with us, jump over there. And hopefully, like I said, next week we have no issues. So we will see.